This is the Revival Center. This message is entitled Conforming to Christ with Pastor Trevor Belmoso.
Well, I have a word for myself first, and hopefully this word can touch you and encourage you and build you up, because many Christians, I keep saying that, many believers believe that once they are saved, they get comfortable and they sit on that salvation. But there's much more in this life, in this journey, this Christian walk, that is not about just sitting on salvation. We have a war to fight. And we need to be empowered, and we need to know what it's like to be with Jesus Christ. We need to know what God wants out of us, because He is the potter and we are the clay. And if you are a potter, you make the clay for a purpose, for a reason. So we need to ask the question, God, why did you make me? Why did you bring me here? Why did you create me? Is it for me to just come to the world and just play along? Life happens to me? Or do I walk along with what is happening in life? Do I play a part? Many people will turn around and tell the potter, why did you create me? What it is, you know, I don't really want to conform or to be the way you want me to be. I want to be the way I want to be. I have enough intelligence. I have enough experience. I have enough skills. I know what to do here. I don't need you to guide me. I don't need your Holy Spirit to tell me what to do. As a matter of fact, when people tell me to conform to Jesus Christ, or to be Christ-like, I don't think I deserve that. I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't think I could raise the bar in my life to be Christ-like. And so we settle and we stay where we are. But the word today is saying that God has more for us. He wants us to be greater. How many of us agree that God is the greatest power on earth? Is that an intellectual amen? Or is that a knowing amen? Do you know that God created the heavens and the earth? Do you know the sun and the moon? He created it to have a season. Do you agree with Ecclesiastes 3 that under the heavens there's a season and a time for everything? There's a time to what? To born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted. And I'm going to stop there. A time to break down, and a time to build up, and so on. Don't you know we have been planted on this earth? And there comes a time when we'll be plucked up from this earth. We have been planted in certain location, geographical location, on His earth. Some in Guyana, some in Trinidad, some in Vincent, Grenada, Barbados, some in the United States, all the different Africa, and so on. And we move this earth across, all over. He planted us. Yes, He used our mother and our father, but it's Him. It is His breath, His spirit, that has given us life. Didn't you say that in Genesis? That He formed them of the clay, the dirt, and then He breathed His breath into us and we became living beings. So it is Him who's keeping us alive. If He takes His breath away, we are gone. As I probably said this before, open your hand if you can. He said, our life is like a hand breath. Breathe in your hand and open it. Is the breath still there? Did you see it? That is like a blade of grass that dries up and withers away. And so you want us to be awake in this journey, like he did for Jesus. In Hebrews 10, I believe, Jesus said to the Father, I thank you for preparing a body for me so that I could go down and do your will. Could that be said the same about you? Ask yourself that question. Did he give me his breath and frame it in a body, a temple? And your agreement before time, before the foundation of your life, before our physical existence, you probably said, yes, I will go down and do your will. But when we came down, it's in our memory, and we can't remember the agreement. And so Jesus has to come and remind us and be an example to us that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. God is Spirit. Jesus Christ is Son of Man and Son of God. He is human, but he's also Spirit. And so did you agree with God to come and fulfill his will? And if you did, then are you conforming to his ways? Or are you conforming to your own way? I see some people are questioning that. If you made an agreement in the Spirit to fulfill his will, because he knew long before what will happen, the question is, are we playing our part? And where in our spiritual life, in Christ, are we stuck? Where are we feel that we are not moving or growing? Where do we feel we are not being blessed enough? Where do we feel we are not contributing enough to his kingdom and his way? But we are busy being under Satan yoke, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan yoke, trying to do everything here for ourselves only. And we pay tribute to him on a Sunday, or maybe on a Wednesday or a Tuesday. And even at home, we are so busy with all the destruction and disruption that we cannot focus and give him out of 24 hours, not even 5 hours. Many of us, we have to feed someone, we have to clothe someone, we have to go somewhere, we have to do something. And we say, we don't have enough time. It's not we don't have enough time, it's that we are not making the time. Our priorities on time is not including him. And the will and the agreement we made, so that if we stay in right alignment, if we seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, all that we are busy trying to get, he said, will be added unto us. But we want to do this part first. Try to get all the things added to us by our own effort. And then try to seek his righteousness like the rich man and his kingdom. We have it, how you say it, backwards. And that's what the world does to us. With the veil over our mind, our spiritual mind, it causes us to live backwards. God wants us to go forward, not backwards. So are you ready to conform to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ? Are you ready to receive that empowerment? So the scripture is from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 31, or to 30. Pastor Manifold ministered last Sunday, stop resisting the refiner's fire. Amen. Stop resisting the refiner's fire. That's why many of us stay where we are. Because you have to go through the refiner's fire to come out like gold. But some of us don't think we are deserving to be gold. We are not worthy to be gold. We want the praises of men and women. We compare ourselves to men and women, but we don't want the honor and the praise of God and do it to give him the glory and the honor. Amen? So, the refiner's fire has another part. Scripture says, we must also go through the launderer's soap. You know, like when you go to the laundry and you go with your soap to wash your clothes? Well, God is a launderer. Jesus Christ is a launderer. And he has his soap that he wants to wash and cleanse us. But as Pastor Manifold said, when you resist, and what you resist will continue to persist. You hear that? When what you resist will continue to persist. So if you want to live a certain way, but you want God's lifestyle, you are resisting his lifestyle, so you will stay where you are. You will never go anywhere. Amen? You will go in a circle. You know, forgive me for this, forgive me for that, forgive me for this, and then you go back again. Forgive me for this, forgive me for that. So it's still persistent. It's not, I accept the forgiveness, I am no longer going to go in this, forgive me again, and so on. Amen? So the scripture and the message is titled, this is what God wants. God wants us to conform to Christ, the image of Christ. And Romans 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So whether you have something that is good in your life or something that is bitter in your life or frustrating your life, his word is saying that what? All things will work together for the good. But most people stay on one side, this not working, this not working, this not working, and they don't see that there's a lesson of good that's supposed to come out of it. And then take the lesson and move on. And those who are doing good, he said, well, it will continue to be good and get to gooder. Is that such a word? Gooder, greater, better, right? But in order for that to happen, you have to do what? You have to love God. And you have to be called by God. How many people you know call themselves to God, and God did not call them? Did you call yourself to God? Or did God call you? How do you know? How do you know when God calls you and when you call yourself to God? How many times you say, I am going to pray and worship or do this for God, and you don't do it? You do for yourself. Who is determining who should do what or not do what? Is it yourself or is it God? When it is God, you hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And they listen to me, and they would not listen to another, even your own mind that is not renewed, and even to the devil's mind or devil's voice. Amen? And for those who are called according to his purpose. How many are called? Raise your hand. How do you know you're called? How do you know you're called? So go home and pray and ask God, did I call myself or did you call me? And show me and explain to me how is it I can distinguish if I called myself or if you called me. Amen? Then he went on, for whom he foreknew, he has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God foreknew us. He loved us and cared for us even before we were born. Isn't that true? Right? You believe in the Creator. So So if he knew you before you were born, and you're now reading that he knew you before you were born, what do you think about that? If he knows all about you before you came through your mother's womb, what a connection you have to the all-awesome, mighty God. That he knows all about you, and you don't even know that he knows that all about yourself. You see, in Ecclesiastes 3, at entrance, he said, and he made all things beautiful in his time. He made you so beautiful for the time that you have here. And many people still think that they're ugly. Many people don't think they're good enough. They're not satisfied with what they have and what he has given them. I'm talking about physically first. He made you, us, beautiful for the time that we're here. You may not look the same as someone else, but we compare nose to nose, hair to hair, eye to eye, foot to foot, and everything, and we try to be like this one when he already made you beautiful for your time. He did that, not you. So you are battling with what he made, and you are not comfortable with how he made you. Doesn't mean you can't improve little things, but some people are so, with so such low self-esteem, they don't think they're beautiful. But his spirit in you is more beautiful than any spirit outside of you. Give yourself an applause for that, amen? And because he cares and loves us so much, before we came, he knew that something will happen to us, so that we can be awakened to who he is. And once we awaken to who he is, we could have that relationship again. But we couldn't do it because we have a sort of, what kind of nature we have? A carnal nature, a sinful nature, a filthy nature, an evil and wicked nature. I know we don't like to hear that. But you know there's nice, beautiful people who could turn around and kill someone. You know there's some nice people dressed up in suit could come and steal all your money and fraud. You know there's some people that they were good all the time and something happened and they want to burn down a place. Why? Because there's a part of us from the sin of Adam that brought the wages of sin into our life. But he knew that death through sin and disobedience can be reversed. So once we awaken that he foreknew us and he knows all about us, we need someone to give us that example. And that's why Jesus came and reconciled us. Not just not our flesh, but the spirit in us. So that we could say, Abba, Father. We could recognize that we are not just a human being, we are a spiritual being as well. It is like Apostle Paul saying he's struggling to do what is right, but he can't seem to get it. All his knowledge of the Word of God, he couldn't get it until Jesus Christ came into his life by faith. And he was able to reverse how he was living. There are murderers in prison. Once the word of God enters into their hearts, they are transformed and they begin to conform to the image of God's Son. And when they do that, they become bold. They stand up on their feet. They are resurrected. They come forth like when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Take off those grave clothes. Those grave clothes of the wages of sin, which is death. Take that off and come alive through Christ Jesus and go forth and take what you have and touch lives. Is that what you are doing? Is that what you are doing? That's what we're supposed to do. Because we're supposed to be walking in what? Power. I know who I am. Amen? And those who he foreknew, it says that he also predestined. So you have been chosen. You have been given a destiny. You have been given a purpose. And there's a plan for our lives. There's a purpose for our lives. He said that my plan is to give you what? A future and a hope. How many people are glad that they have a future and a hope? Other than just the worldly future and hope. Because this worldly one is decaying, right? Perishing. I know when I was small how I used to be. I know what's happening to me right now. Right? I know I am perishing. And I'm not trying to hide it too much. I know some people are a little more into it than me. They will cover up a lot of what they're perishing. The wrinkles, the marks, the whatever, you know. You walk slower. We tend to trip sometimes, right? We are perishing, but there's something imperishable inside of us that wants us to even do more. You all remember Abraham at 99 and his wife at 89? When God came to them and said, I know you want a son, but I had predestined that for you because I need Isaac, right, to pass on this seed. Even though now you, because you think your wife can have it, you go on with this other woman and you get Ishmael. But even though he was 99, there's a power in him of God that could bring him some kind of herbs or something. That could create the organs to come alive. Because he didn't say it was, he didn't say the spirit overshadowed Sarah. He didn't say that. He said that with Mary. But this one wasn't an overshadowing. This one would like get to know her. He knew her, right? Amen. And he said he knew Abraham. That even though Abraham was a liar, a sinner, saying that this is his sister, not his wife, even though he did all sorts of things, he said, because I know him, I told him that he will have children like the stars. And Abraham believed and was counted unto him for righteousness. So we are predestined for righteousness. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And once we have Jesus Christ, we have the righteousness of God within us. Amen? But how many truly believe that we are righteous? If we believe in Christ, you are righteous. You are righteous, you are righteous, you are righteous, you are righteous, I am righteous. Could you say I'm righteous? Amen. And don't go back and say, but I'm a sinner, I'm still doing this, I'm still doing that. That's your human is battling with something. But the righteousness of God has come in, imputed in us by faith through Christ Jesus. It's up to us to understand that righteousness. And that righteousness is going to work in us to make itself manifest in us. We'll be perfected in us as we keep our mind stayed on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen? And that's why we have this destiny. So God has acted. He said he knew us, he loved us, he cared for us before we even came out on this earth. And he has a plan and a purpose. And now he's also saying, I've given you a future and a hope. One greater than the world can give you. Because the one I'm giving you, it gives you hope to survive through the trials and the tribulations and the frustrations and the temptation and all of those things. And the future I'm giving you is that you will have your breakthroughs, and at the end, you will have eternal life. You have that in your hand. If you know you have eternal life, would you continue to mess up your opportunity to experience it and to have it? He said the reason why we tend to be stuck and we mess up is because he said you're not recognizing that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And you're using your thoughts more than my thoughts all the time to fix your life. and to get the blessing and to get that business and to put out that book and to get the promotion and to make your life better. Get that. He said, all things would be added, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The world is giving you that too, right? If you work hard and slave till you're 65, 71, 72, you might have a pension and a social security, and could you manage all the things you want with that? Or did you save through your business to accumulate millions? And he's promising even more than that, 30-fold million, 60-fold, 100-fold. And when I mean that, I mean you would be able to take care of all your needs. He supply all our needs. So who do we trust? Our thoughts and the thoughts of those in the world? Or his thoughts that are in the Word of God? That when that enter into us, light comes alive in us. Amen? And now he did that. That's available for us. And then he does what it says. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed to the image of his Son. Some people say, I can't be Jesus. I don't think I can be pure and holy and like Jesus. So I'm not even going to try. That's not at my level. But when he said conform to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, it is the same as saying conform to the image of God. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. He's his visible expression of our invisible Father God. And he's here. And if we resist not wanting to conform to the image of his Son, we will conform to disobedience and perishing and being with the image of Satan and his demons. That is the choice we have. Amen? So conformity to the image of Christ doesn't mean you have to be Jesus. It means that you've been purposed to receive righteousness at where you are and begin to do what is right for God, less than what you want to do for yourself. Because when you do for God, he will do for you. For if God is for you, yourself and all its wrongness will be a stumbling block. But he is saying, if I'm for you, no one can be against you. No human being. He said, don't trust in princes and chariots. Don't trust in human beings. Who can even clean themselves? Who can let themselves make themselves righteous? Because our righteousness is like filthy rags. And we go around bragging that we are so good. And look at all the good works we do. And look at all the fasting we do. All the praying we do. All the things that we are doing. We are taking the glory. And we're not being moved by him. And he said, it is not by our works. It's not only by the works of the law, but it's by faith. It's by him. He's the one that's doing it. He's the one that can make us righteous. Job said, can an unclean make itself clean? If I am unclean, can I make myself clean? Yeah, I can go and take a shower on my body. But the righteousness of God that's in me, I can't clean that up if I have wickedness and injustice inside of me. Who can clean that up? Only God. Only God. And many people are running from God. Many people are running from conforming to God, from conforming to the image. It's an image. We were made in the image and likeness of God. Right? But Satan came in and we were made in the image of Satan. But he's saying, my ways are not like Satan's ways. My thoughts are not like Satan's thoughts. My nature is not like Satan's nature in you. And I can help you. Because I came down. I took it all. the testing, the trials, the temptation, the beating, the whipping, the rejection, the persecution, the shame, the guilt that you are, and us, that we are experiencing. And he said, I nailed it on the cross, and my blood bled to cover all of us so that we can have access to this great, awesome image of God that's in us, that works through us, that builds us up, that strengthens us, that encourages us, that teaches us, that directs us. Amen? So he called. And this is not a call that we just heard the gospel, we just heard the word of God, and okay, I'm saved, and that's it. He's called for a purpose. What is your purpose in the kingdom of God? What are you doing that would increase God's work? How can he use you? Can we come and sit in our salvation for the rest of our time? Can we warm the benches in the churches after we have all this available to us? Am I making sense to anyone? Amen. And then after he called, I know for time, he also justified. So he foreknew, he predestined, he called us, and there's little gaps in between. Because sometimes, like myself, I put it in one of my books. I heard God's voice calling me a long time. And I was afraid to answer that call. I was always running and hiding. Not physically hiding, but saying to that voice, I don't want to go there now. I don't want to do that now. And it just kept getting, persistent and frustrating my life. And I was in the military at the time, and I'm saying, I'm a womanizer, I'm at this, and I'm doing all these things, I'm drugs, and I'm a sailor, I'm going to ports and doing a lot of different, why he keep bothering me, And I ran and I ran and I ran from the calling. As they say in the book, this is a holy calling, this is a heavenly calling. This is not me calling myself. It was someone calling me to change my lifestyle and to conform to the image of Christ. And I will tell you, I probably ran for like 5, 10, 15 years. Even though I was in church, I was doing this, in and out. I wouldn't lie, I walked into church with marijuana in my pocket one time. And I'm swear that I was praising and saying, I hope if I jump, it won't fall out and they would see it, right? But I was resisting that call. I went in and got baptized, and right after I went to a party and I fell out. I was resisting the call. I said, I don't want to give up the party. All my friends, everything. And you want me to conform to this image. You're calling me and I'm... And then eventually I said, yes, I will answer the call. I'm tired. I'll answer the call. Did I stop doing some of the things right away? No. But because he foreknew me, loved me, cared for me, predestined me, he is working on me. He is working inside of me. He is turning things around and making me conform. Because I will not conform to Christ if it was up to me. How many of you are doing that? You're not conforming fully, you're running. You're coming halfway and then you're running. Going back. You're going backwards, you're running forward and you say, yes, I need you, I want you, Jesus. And then you go, no, not right now. I still have a life to live. I still want to do these things. Amen?
I see some people, okay.
And when I answered the call and the process, I started recognizing, man, what a ignorant guy I was. I really didn't know that God was like that. I thought God was a person nailed up on a cross in the Catholic Church. I thought God was painting a white image in people's home. I thought God was waiting by the thing to take all my money. I thought God was someone who, if I did something wrong, would have a big stick and hit me on top of my head. As a matter of fact, some of the elders used to beat me with a cocaine broom. What do they call that? Yeah. Yeah, like from the fig tree or the palm tree or whatever it is. And because my head was hard. They were hitting me and saying, it's good for me. But I was saying, wow.
Look what they do.
But it was good for me spiritually. Because they were showing me that God is doing things and making me fall all over the place, do things wrong, and I need to conform. I need to let go of me. The more I held on to me, the less I was able to have peace in my life. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Jehovah Jireh. My finances was up and down. From 100-something thousand down to 50-something thousand down to $5. And he is able to provide. He provides from $5 back up and more. He's able to do all of that. So why not conform to that power, the power of God within, that can take you to greater heights than the heights you can take even yourself. Ourselves. Conform. He's just asking you conform to the image of Christ. Conform to the ways of God. Who's the image of Christ? Who's the ways of God? What are his thoughts? The Word of God. The Word of God. Conform to what the Word says. Many people run from this too. They run. They have it in the house. They don't read it. That is running from God. That is resisting God. Amen? This is a word we all need in these times. Amen? God is not mock and he's not foolish. You will reap what you sow. You have that freedom of choice to choose. We have it. But we are always choosing the broad way and not the What is the Broadway? In California, what's the Broadway? Being on TV, being on the movies, being seen by many, getting the attention of many, decorating to be seen in the Broadway, being in the theater of life, people will see your flesh, see our flesh. It's okay to take care of ourselves. But we must not want to be on Broadway every day. We want to be in God's way every day. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. And those he called, he also justified. Did I cover that already? Okay. So let's give an example of Peter. Y'all know Peter? How many people have a friend named Peter? All right. So Peter was with Jesus, and God gave him the insight that Jesus was the Son of the living God. And Peter was having some issues conforming to the ways of Christ. He was learning. And as he was growing with Jesus, Jesus said, I am about to go and be crucified, and I won't be here. And Peter started to jump up and say, no, nobody can take you and do that to you. He said, I'm going before the high priest and all of them, and they're going to do this to me, and I'm going to suffer. And here Peter, no, I won't do this to you. They can't do that to you. No way. Well, they came for Jesus. And Peter was doing what? He didn't stand up for them and say, okay, take me too. Did Peter say that?
What did Peter do?
How many of us were Peter and us? Right? They came for Jesus. And Peter said, no, I will never deny you. I'll never do this to you. And they take in Jesus. I'll die with you. I'll die. Where is Peter? Is he walking just like this with Jesus? What is Peter doing? backing away and he's watching from a distance. How many of us are watching Jesus from a distance? How many of us say, I would never deny Jesus, but you're not doing what he says in his word. You're denying him all the time. Say, don't get yourself into trouble. So Peter, God has eyes. He sees everything because what he foreknew and he predestined. So Peter thought he was hiding from Jesus, which is God. And God sent someone. Aren't you with Jesus? He said, Lord, I don't know that. Aren't you with Jesus? Are you conforming to Jesus? Yes, I want to. That's not for me. Going again. Is that a curse? What did he tell me? I don't know. Who's that Jesus? I don't want to be bothered with that Jesus. Three times. Denied Jesus. And Peter started to say, I wanted to say yes. I was with Jesus. I belong with Jesus. I've been conforming to Jesus. But did he say it? He wasn't ready to say it. Peter saw in himself fear. He saw the rise up of evil and wickedness and filthiness and dirtiness inside of him rise up. And he couldn't do anything about it. He said, what kind of man am I? I walk with this man. I call on the name of Jesus. I do everything with him. I listen to him. But look what came up in me. I saw him heal people. I saw him go on the mountain and transfigure into his glory and spoke with Moses and Elijah and then came back in his body. I saw all of that and yet I deny. We read so much about Jesus. We hear so much about Jesus. We call on him. But we are denying him more than conforming to his image. We are frustrated. Peter saw Jesus when he died and he rose and he ascended. And then Peter was going to the gate, beautiful. And he saw someone who needed help. And this time, what did Peter do? He said, silver and gold I have not, but what I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What did Peter say to himself, using the lame man as an image? I deny myself. I throw away my I throw away my thoughts. I throw away my ways. And I'm going to rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. In his power, in his authority. And that man rose up and went out shouting with joy. When Jesus is risen up inside of us and we stop denying him, we will be shouting for joy. Jesus said, I took all the beating because my soul was before me, and I took it because of the joy that formed before him. He said, when you do what I do, I will fill you with joy. Amen. Joy is one of the greatest rewards we can get. How many of you want to conform and change to the ways of God? How many of us are ready to start denying ourselves? Jesus Christ says, if you believe in me, then you must deny yourself. Deny yourself. You must follow me. I think there's another one he says. When, deny yourself is such a harsh word. to tell a human being, deny yourself. You can't deny yourself physically and who you are. Amen? But you can deny the spirit of the enemy that's inside of you by allowing and accepting and believing and receiving the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, to destroy the works of the devil inside of you. And he said, those who he foreknew, those who he predestined, those who he called, those who he justified by imputing his righteousness by us accepting him and becoming righteous, he glorified. How many of us are ready for the glory of God? Can we all stand?